Chase William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We're live at Bridgestone Arena, the Jack Daniels Barrel House. It's a Preds game day brought to you by Social Furniture. Check out their new shipment of sectionals and sofas this weekend with all colors to choose from. Same day delivery. Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue near White Bridge Road. Shop local, shop social. Love those people. Appreciate them for jumping on with us. College football. The Vols are off this week after a big win over the Florida Gators. And I don't feel like we've really talked about that all that much this week because there's been so much going on. But a signature win for Josh Heupel and company. But they were without their all-SEC receiver, Cedric Tillman. A report came out yesterday that he underwent tightrope surgery on his left ankle early this week with hopes of not being out an extended period of time. That's from Chris Lowe. I've never heard that.
That's a new one.
That is a tightrope surgery.
Tightrope?
I think it has to do with the high ankle sprain. And I'll tell you this, until the NFL got here, I'd never really heard about a high ankle sprain, the terminology. And I actually had, looking back on it, I had a high ankle sprain.
Listen, high ankle sprains ain't no joke. Sometimes you just almost want it to break,
It takes a long time to heal,
yeah. Man.
I had one, and I would try and put pressure on it, and it felt like the bone was going to bust through.
And it's so frustrating because it just doesn't ever seem to be getting better.
Yeah.
It takes so long. That's what I missed time in the minor leagues with that. It wasn't called a high ankle sprain. It was like, well, your ankle's hurt. But this tightrope surgery, I don't know if that's the idea. Is this some breakthrough thing that's supposed to shorten the time that you're out? We got to research. Is there a doctor in the house? Is there a trainer? Should we call downstairs to the Predators and say, what about this tightrope surgery?
We need to do that.
Hey, man, it's like when they call Mike Pereira in for the rules thing. We need a guy on call, a doctor trainer on call.
Let me see.
I think that would be good.
Yeah.
If anybody knows, text us 615-737-1025.
Anybody know about tightrope surgery?
And this is from Google. You know, Google is always right, but no. It says, this technique is used to stabilize an ankle after injury. It can be used to repair a high ankle sprain, which damages the soft tissue structure between the tibia and the fibula and causes these bones to separate. So, like you said, it has something to do with the high ankle sprain. It tightens it up, stabilizes it. So, I guess the healing process speeds up in a sense. But I've never heard of it. I've never heard of it. Yeah. So, hopefully this young man comes back and what I would advise him to do is take the necessary time you need to heal. Because if you try to rush that thing back, and I know he wants to be out there with his teammates, but you come out there and you're not fully healthy, you're hurting yourself and your team.
Because that's the thing about the high ankle sprain. You cannot move the way you want to
move. It's hard. I played with one, and it's basically you're limping around.
Yep. It's hard to explain. Like when you roll your ankle, now that's a different kind of ankle sprain. You get that loose, you get that moving, you can get that going. You should be okay if it's not that bad. Now, if it's extreme, then that's, you're going to have to take some time. But that heals better. Mm-hmm. The high ankle sprain, it takes a long time before you get your full mobility and don't feel it when you're running. It just gives. You don't have strength in it.
And even if you got a little medicine in you, as I did with mine, you still feel it.
That's the thing. You can numb it or whatever, but you still can't push off of it the same way.
You get some medicine when you go hard in the paint.
I'll give you another example of a high ankle sprain. Craig Smith, during the 2017 Cup run, he missed a bunch of time during the playoffs, and it was frustrating the heck out of him because it just wasn't. We're making this great playoff run. I got to get back in there, and it just took a lot longer than he wanted it to.
Robbie Stanley says, "I thought tightrope surgery had to do with the circus." Thank you for that, Robbie.
Thank you, Robbie. Appreciate it.
So the Vols off this weekend. Some big games in the SEC, though, that we'll be looking at. South Carolina won last night. They played South Carolina State, whatever, so nobody cares. I would say the one I'm the most intrigued by is Kentucky Ole Miss, because Ole Miss is favored in that game. Yesterday when we did silly underdog picks, it was 7, now 6.5 on the Superbook Sportsbook. So Kentucky getting 6.5. I jumped on it and got him at 7 because I think the wrong team's favored. I actually think the director calling a book it is the right play. And silly underdog picks. Alabama-Arkansas intrigues me a little bit too. Even though I think Alabama is going to win that game, you know, how ticked off is Arkansas after losing to Texas A&M last week? Arkansas battled last year. I think Arkansas is a pretty good football team. Sam Pittman has done a good job there. But what do you guys think about that matchup as Alabama, it's the 2:30 game on CBS. They got to go to Fayetteville. And Alabama is a 17-point favorite.
Oh, my goodness. Alabama, as much as I like Alabama and, you know, the rankings have them as the number two team. From what I've seen, Ohio State is the number two team in the country. But Alabama, I mean, number three. But, I mean, listen, 1 through 3, you can take your pick with either team. You wouldn't go wrong whether it's Georgia, Alabama, or Ohio State. But Alabama has shown some flaws. And, you know, I'm surprised because Arkansas has a good team. What are they, 3-1?
They're scrappy.
Yeah,
they're scrappy.
They should have
really
be 4-0.
I really thought they
should be 4-0.
They should have beaten A&M.
I don't know. Should is a little strong for me.
They had an opportunity. I think
that
they
game.
Squandered an opportunity.
So the quarterback's pretty good at Arkansas. I think this is going to be a closer game than what the spread says.
Oh, I would take Arkansas plus the 17.
Yeah, I take Arkansas plus
the
17.
Here's the one
too.
Thing, though, because everybody's saying the same thing. When you look at that line and you see that Kentucky's ranked number 7, you're like, what's going on here?
What does Vegas know?
But that's I'll never forget. Peter Laviolette had a great talk with his son the first time we ever traveled. Vegas was in their first year in the league, right? So it was my first trip to Vegas. And I had a hilarious talk with Lavi. He says, I had to talk with my son. His son went out and hit a slot machine for like $350, like right as soon as he started.
Goodness.
And he had to talk with his son. All right, son, take a look at all these hotels over here. Okay? Take a look at how nice all this stuff is. They're not building these things because they're losing.
The chandeliers, exactly. The chandeliers cost more than our house.
Right.
Exactly. Take your money and pocket it.
That's exactly what this is a lesson. Now, I don't know if his son listened to him. It's like the Stillmans.
Exactly.
With Jared. You know, was you're not always, because I know as the teen, you're not always listening.
Exactly.
Right? Or as, you know, a young adult. So somebody knows something. With these lines, it never ceases to amaze me how close they are with the line. Most of the time.
A lot of times they're dead
it's
on.
It's unbelievable.
Goodness.
It's unbelievable. So I do think, even though Ole Miss didn't look so good last week, they had a run, you know, it wasn't a dominant performance against Tulsa. The other thing I noticed, Vanderbilt went up and thumped Northern Illinois after falling behind. They had a strong second half and won. But Northern Illinois stayed right in the game with Kentucky last week in Lexington.
Sure.
Remember, Vanderbilt went up to Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois goes to Kentucky and is right there within a score late in the game with their backup quarterback playing against Kentucky. Now, maybe that's just a sleepwalk by Kentucky, but I think there's a little bit of wait and see from the odds makers of is Kentucky really the 7th best team in the country? Mm-hmm. There's still a little
Are
bit of proof.
Real? Yeah, no, it's fair, but I think they're better than Ole Miss. And I like Ole Miss. I like what Lane Kiffin's done there. But I would say that they're better than that. LSU will play Auburn this weekend. It's weird to say Auburn is 3-1. It's a little bit. It's not a. The record doesn't tell the whole story.
Uh-huh.
So if LSU thumps Auburn, like I kind of think they're going to, is that it for Brian Harsin, or are they going to let him hold on a little?
About three straight home games for Auburn where the buzzards are swirling.
Oh,
right? That was the thing.
They're just waiting.
I mean, they're just circling. I don't think they ever left the stadium. The game ended Saturday at about 2 o'clock, 2:30. Those buzzards are still going.
This feels like
they're like, oh, no, we're sticking around. We think there's a good meal here coming.
This feels like the Ric Flair retirement storyline that they did when he retired the first time. This was one of his 7 retirements that he had. If he loses a match, he has to retire. Mm-hmm. And so you knew it was going to happen eventually. That's how they were setting it up. I feel like it's if Brian Harsin, as soon as he loses, like, all right, we got it. You're fired. You're out.
They can't wait.
The guy at the guillotine was ready to drop it before that guy from Missouri just dropped the ball at the half-yard line. They were ready to say, all right, it's all ready. President Give him the signal.
The president was walking down with fire in him on my mind. Like, oh, yeah, we're about to do it right now.
Well, have you guys
seen like, wait a minute, we won?
Have you guys seen the video of Herm? Like, I mean, it looks like they fired him right there on the field. If you go and you watch it, like, you can kind of see his face, like, okay.
I don't know what happened out there. That is the weirdest thing with Herm, but his people just turned on him. His coaches, his surround, his
That's
inner circle.
The way it seems.
It was et tu, Brute.
It was. It very, 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 very bad. We'll look at some other games outside the SEC coming up next. Ask D-Manx at the bottom of the hour. Have your questions ready for Derek Mason. And we will do that at the bottom of the hour. Eddie George at 1. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. We're live at the Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chris Sanders, Silly Underdog theme music. That is perfect, Nick, back at the studio. Play Silly Underdog picks today. Pick 3 football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or on the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted #1 sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace back here at Bridgestone Arena at the Jack Daniels Barrel House. Willie has gone to get the tracksuit. We have sent him up to get his tracksuit that he will wear on the plane. We cannot wait to see the tracksuit. This will be good. He can model it for us. For sure. But looking at some of the college football games outside the SEC this week, I'm intrigued by a few. I'm going to throw them out at you, and you tell me kind of what you think. We're going to start in the Big Ten, the big noon kickoff game. Michigan. On the road against Iowa. Michigan favored by 10.5.
That's always a tough matchup, Iowa. And they're playing in Iowa.
Yeah.
That's always a tough matchup for any.
Michigan's the 4th-ranked team in the country.
But Michigan didn't look great last
year. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, like, I don't know what they are yet.
Yeah, I really don't. Now, the first few games, they were cakewalk. They were running through people, beating them by 50 points. They played last week against Maryland. And Maryland had their opportunities. If Maryland stops them, I think it was like 3rd-and-1. And if they stop them on 3rd-and-1 or 3rd-and-2, something like that, then they get the ball back with an opportunity to go down and I think either tie the game or draw it closer with the offside kick, they get the ball. But the running back ended up breaking off like a 50-something yard run for a touchdown because they had everybody stacked on the line of scrimmage. So I don't know who the Wolverines are. They seem like a good team.
Yeah,
but Maryland gave them a run for their money last week, and now they're playing, you know, a tough. I was always the tough out from when I was in college to the year subsequently after I left college and just watched Iowa. They have some really good teams, and they have some teams that were not good. But if you got to play in Iowa this time of year, start getting a little chilly, yeah, it gets very difficult to play. And that crowd is loud, man. They are loud. They are into it. So it's going to be, even though, you know, I was not even ranked, are they?
No.
Even though they're not a ranked team, it's still a tough opponent.
Another one that intrigues me, and I said this to you off the air, there's some interesting underdogs this week. The 9th-ranked Oklahoma State on the road against 16th-ranked Baylor. Oklahoma State 3-0, Baylor 3-1. Baylor is a 2.5-point favorite at home. I like Oklahoma State on the road. I think they're the better team. But I like Baylor. But I think Okie State goes and gets the win.
I have not and you said Baylor, what, a 2.5?
Yeah.
They're 16th Oklahoma State.
2.5 points
on the Super
Bowl
sports. Much of Baylor, even though they lost their first game of the season, right?
They did.
I forgot who that was. Who that was against Ohio State, was it?
No, it was
Georgia.
It was against BYU. The second game of the season.
Oh, BYU.
Yeah,
BYU. I haven't seen much of them, but what I've seen of Oklahoma, they're putting up points. This team, looks really, really good. Their quarterback, Sanders, he's awesome. He only has one interception this year with 10 touchdowns. So if I had to pick, I'm picking Oklahoma State, but that's just because I've seen Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of Baylor.
Do you believe in Clemson?
And Coach Mason's down there.
He is.
That defensive court in D.C. down there.
Do you believe in Clemson? Do you think that they're back? They're the fifth-ranked team, 4-0.
When is that matchup between them and Pittsburgh?
I'd have to look. Wake game. I mean, Wake could have beaten them last
week.
Yeah,
well, Tennessee beat them. I'm talking about Pitt.
I'm talking about Clemson. Yeah. Clemson got it. They barely squeaked by and beat Wake Forest.
Uh-huh.
I think NC State's going to give them a game tomorrow night. That's who they play. They don't play Pitt. They wouldn't play Pitt until
the championship.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's what I would love to see, Clemson versus Pittsburgh, because those are the two top teams in the conference, supposedly. You look at Clemson. They look good. Last week, they pulled one out. They should have more than likely not had pulled that game out, but they did. So to me, until they lose, then I'm like, they're a good team. Now, are they, fifth?
Yep.
Are they a top five team? I don't know. But they've been playing well enough to win.
Their biggest question is their quarterback. Can he win the big games? And now he was able to, they were able to win one on the road at Wake.
Mm-hmm.
They survived long enough to do it, but Uiagalelei, I think, is the question that everybody has.
Yeah, well, I mean, this team, they got pieces around him. Let's just say that. So they don't need him to be Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence. They got players around him. So he reminds me sort of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
He's a good player, but is he really this good because of the people around him?
Yeah.
Or is he, is this the guy that he can go to another university and put up the numbers that he's putting up at Clemson?
There's a lot of talk. You mentioned Pittsburgh. So they play Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech just fired Jeff Collins last week.
Right.
Georgia Tech is awful.
Like they're awful.
I mean, they're not very good. Yeah. But there's been a lot of talk that could be Deion Sanders, that if Deion Sanders leaves – Jackson State and goes into a Power Five, that it could be Georgia Tech. And the reason that they brought that up is obviously he played in Atlanta for both the Braves and the Falcons. Mm-hmm. People know who he is there. He could recruit that area. I mean, he's shown that he's a leader. He's done a fantastic job at Jackson State.
Coach Sanders done a wonderful job, man.
He really has. He has done
turned that program I don't know what it was before, but yeah. Man, what they are now, I'm sure it's far from where they were, before he took the job.
But he's been, he's starting to be mentioned for bigger jobs. Georgia Tech is interesting if because they've been irrelevant for a while. If he could go in there and actually make them relevant again. To me, I don't think he's going to leave Jackson State unless it's Florida State. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do you think? Arizona State, his name's been mentioned too as well.
This is how I feel. And I'm only going by, the things that I've seen of Deion Sanders at JSU, how he speaks highly of those kids there in that program and what he wants to do for that program and what he has done for that program, and this is his mission. I don't think he's leaving. It would have to be Florida State that pulls on. Because to me, and I think Deion's like a genuine dude. I've been around him. I played with him in Baltimore. He truly
– You guys overlap?
Yeah, we played together in Baltimore. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He truly loves those kids. Like, he's invested in what they do, what that program does. So I can't see him leaving for Arizona State or Georgia Tech. As much as he's talked about the HBCUs and how they're underfunded and everything else, how he's brought this huge spotlight to the HBCUs and what he's doing at Jackson State, I can't see him leaving for any other job. But two jobs. It would either have to be Florida State or the Dallas Cowboys. They're the only two places I can see him going.
I don't know if he's ready to coach in the NFL.
I'm not saying that he is or he isn't, but I'm saying, like, to me, those are the only two places that I think he would say, or Atlanta, say the Falcons.
Sure.
Them the only places that I can see, I can say, okay, there might be, if they are reaching out to Coach Sanders, then he might take those jobs. I don't see him taking a Georgia Tech job. I don't see him taking an Arizona State job. I just don't. You know, because then people are going to look at it and say, well, the only reason you were at JSU because your kids were there. You know?
Right. Well.
So it's just, I can be completely wrong on this one. And y'all can ask me that on my segment, Ask Steve Ace. Y'all can ask me about, you know, what do you think Prime, you know, Coach Sanders. I got to call him Coach Sanders because that's out of respect. What Coach Sanders is going to do if he does get presented with a job here or there. But, you know, I think he's at JSU unless Florida State, Atlanta, or the Cowboys come talking. How about those Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? That is right. It is time for Ask D-Mace. Get your questions ready. You can call. You can text 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace. Coming up next here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. That's right, 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace. And you know what? We are going to incentivize you. The best question over the course of the next two segments for Ask D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Dallas Stars at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, October 13th. That is opening night as hockey is back in Smashville. So don't miss out on the five home games scheduled during the month of October as well. 615-737-1025. You can call, you can text, and the best question will win a pair of tickets to opening night in the Music City for Smashville. I can't put it out. Sorry. Trying to do too much at one time.
Hey, man, you went hard in the paint, man.
It wasn't that.
I'm just messing with you.
I'm just putting two and two together.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's start things off.
Is it a coincidence?
No,
I don't know.
Gary on our text line. I'm just moving on. Gary on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. D-Mace, hypothetical scenario. Jeff Fisher once said he doesn't deal in hypotheticals.
Yeah.
But you're 18 years old again. That's scary. And getting recruited by colleges. How much is your NIL deal?
Oh, man. If I'm going back to when I was 18, people got to remember I only played 2 years of football, junior and senior year. And it wasn't until my senior year where my numbers just kind of skyrocketed. Because we were – it's ironic, Chase. I was on a run-off-based offense in high school. I was on a run-based offense in the pros, so it never changed for me. But I don't know what
a little
my
bit that's on you.
Yeah,
I mean,
or proximity. I mean,
Michigan
State was a run-based team as well. You know, but I just love green and white, so there you go. But my NIL deal, I don't know, man, what it would be. You know, I was a really good player coming out. They wasn't even dealing in stars back then. So I don't know if I would have – I'm sure I would have been at least a four-star player that year. So I guess my NIL deal would have been – I mean, that would have been something my parents would have negotiated.
Billy Bob's Pizza Shop.
Exactly. It would have been something, car place or – I don't know what it would have been. But I'm sure I would have got a little cheese, you know. A little change.
Yeah, you'd get some cheese, all right. Unnamed texture, please be sure to put your name Which would you rather have a career with? No Super Bowl appearances or a career with one or more losses in the Super Bowl? You do have the loss in the Super Bowl, so you have have that already. But which would you rather have?
No Super Bowl?
Like, you never go play in it, or you basically have what you have where you've lost.
Oh, I want the experience. Yeah. You know, there's nothing, because not everybody that plays in the NFL gets an opportunity to make it to the Super Bowl. And it's like a capping off of the hard work you've done throughout the whole season and into the playoffs. And you were, you know, one of two lucky teams that were able to weather the storm, were able to play well enough just to get to put yourself in an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. So I would take going to a Super Bowl over not going any day, because you never know what happens when you get there. So, you know, I would take where I'm at now, having gone to a Super Bowl. I couldn't imagine not ever reaching that pinnacle in my career.
Okay. So, Willie, you got any that have stood out to you? Looking through?
Let me.
You haven't been looking.
I have not. Okay. No, I have not focused on the questions yet. I was doing a tweet to encourage the Predator fans to get in this. Did you see my tweet?
I'm calling all
press fans. We're talking opening night here. This is a great opportunity.
This is where we still got to teach Willie some things.
Yeah,
like,
whatever.
You didn't tag me in it, you know. So
yeah,
tag D-Mace.
I tagged 102.5 the game.
You
but.
Did, but
hey, we had a caller Eaton on the phone.
Okay. Oh, all right. Let's go to Eden. 615-737-1025 has a question for D-Mace. Welcome in.
Will the offensive line be good enough for Derrick Henry to win the rushing touchdown? Rushing title.
Rushing title.
Okay. All right. Thank you
for your question. Hey, Eden, good question.
Eden, that's what we've been trying to figure out ourselves. You know, that line, and I'm sure you've been watching the games with your parents, Eden. That offensive line looked bad the first two games of the season. So we're all trying to figure out, man, are they going to get worse? How would Derrick Henry look moving forward? But it was an encouragement last week that they started to block a lot better versus the Raiders. And that offensive line from a run blocking standpoint looked pretty good. Now you hope that continues. And I think it will, because, again, Vrabel – coaching this unit, I think he'll get them to a point where, you know, they will be okay. Still won't be the best, but they'll be much better than what they have. So I don't know if he's going to win a rushing title, because I just think, Eden, that offensive line has too many inexperienced players on it for it to thrive. But I think Derrick Henry will still be a top-notch running back, but will he win the rushing title? I don't think so.
John wants you to ask me why I got rid of you just made the list, because I want to put him on that for that reason. I get blamed for everything.
Well, hey, you the suit, man.
I know.
It comes with the territory.
The show changed. Things changed, you know, so we came up with SD Mace.
Hey, we, you know, it is what it is.
Thank you. We can look at – I think people just need a segment they can complain.
Yeah, I think we all do. But, hey, listen, change sometimes is good, okay? Don't look at change as, oh, you're not doing this no more. No, we are working our way into things, you know. We'll be all right.
Just want to you-know-what and moan.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's okay. You can do that.
They can do that.
You can do that. But thank you, Eden, for the call. I appreciate it.
Hey, this is Shane in the Borough. Hey, D-Mace, what was the most bizarre pregame ritual you ever witnessed in the locker room? That's a good one.
Oh, man. I'm trying to figure out what have I witnessed in my locker room. Well, it wasn't in my locker room, the locker rooms we had, because we didn't have guys doing crazy things before a pregame. But I mean,
the late Steve McNair.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
You go take a
nap. Steve McNair would take a nap anywhere. It could be a closet. It could be anywhere. He just needed to take a nap before the game, and he would be fine.
Well, didn't that kind of become a thing with the training staff?
Yeah, John Takahashi had to find him a place to sleep at every arena. I mean, every stadium that we went to. John was tasked at finding Steve McNair a place to sleep, take a nap before a game. And if you didn't see Steve, don't worry. He's taking a nap. He'll be ready when the game come around. But y'all remember Big John Henderson?
Yeah.
Y'all
oh,
seen
yeah,
that
Big
whole
John.
Thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Where he would
Baby
get
Shaq.
Slapped
Baby Shaq.
Before the game.
Pearl
by
Cone
the trainer,
High School.
Yeah,
yeah,
went to UT.
He
yeah.
would get he would let the he would tell a trainer to slap him in the face like two or three times before the game to get him going. Y'all never saw that?
No.
Yes, that was. I was like,
Big
man,
John Henderson.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to do that,
man. I would.
No,
not.
But John would tell the guy, slap him before the game. He
I,
would do it.
No.
Hey man, I saw that. I forget what they were doing. I don't know if it was like Jaguar, but this was when the Jaguars were good. You know. When Henderson and they had the two big tackles, Henderson and somebody else, because he and Albert came out the same year, didn't they? Albert and Big Henderson came out the same year.
I think close, right. Close. Yeah, man, when you talk about a strong defensive line
exactly.
in college.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, ain't no way in God's green earth I'm going to let somebody get hyped for a game. New way.
There are some people that follow Tennessee that thought that that was the most talented Tennessee team that I think it was 01 or whatever the year before the last year that Haynesworth played there. It was as good as any team top to bottom talent wise, even though they didn't quite win it.
That was who's the quarterback? Was that Clawson? Was that Casey
01,
Clawson?
Maybe. I think Casey Clawson right after T. Martin.
Yeah.
Would it have been Casey Clawson? I think that sounds
and then
right.
Rick Clawson was later.
That was later. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ainge and. You know, those
kind
of
had a
in
bunch
that,
of quarterbacks.
In that, yeah, I mean, they could. Yeah. That was kind of the thing. They could just never find
not
that
quite good enough to get back
that guy. All right, another round of text calls. Ask D. Mace. Predators opening nine tickets on the line. 615-737-1025. You must participate. Good questions so far. We'll get to some other ones. I got one queued up that I'm curious of your answer on. We will do that coming up next, but. Can you beat Vegas this football season? I try every week. Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas. I love going to the Superbook. I have visited it a couple of times when I've been out in Las Vegas, and I'll give you this tip. I like the Titans plus the 4 on the road against Indianapolis this week. So if you want to make that your play, just download the Superbook Sports app right now. They feature some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So go download that app, or you can visit superbook.com, and you can start your battle against Vegas right now on my official sports book, Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
G-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace. Chase McCabe, Willie Donnett, Derek Mason with you. Eddie George coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll talk to the TSU head coach. Get his thoughts on some things with the Titans and Lane College as they will play TSU this week. But taking your questions now and on the line, a pair of tickets on October 13th to see the Nashville Predators take on the Dallas Stars opening night in Smashville. They'll play their first two games in Prague starting next week. That's next Friday and Saturday. You can hear that right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. But we got some good questions, and a lot of you have been texting in. 615-737-1025. Gene in Spring Hill says, Derek, why haven't you gone into coaching?
Oh, wow. Well, I did. I was coaching at Innsworth High School for a bit when I retired. I coached at the high school wide receivers for 2 years. And then I went to the middle school to start coaching. And then once my son got into high school, I was like, I'm done. I'm done with coaching. Coaching, I don't know if I could. Coaching takes a lot.
I'm going to give an answer when you're done.
Coaching takes a lot. And, you know, I see why some people choose to get into it. Some people choose not to. Or some people get in and say, you know what, this is enough for me. I understand why. Because, you know, me, for instance, if I go out there and I coach you and I coach, and I love coaching kids. I really do. I love teaching them, you know, techniques and stuff. But, you know, I think sometimes as the kids get older, you think, well, why can't you get what I'm teaching you? Because it's simple. Why can't you do some of the things that I'm asking you to do? Because I'm basing it upon my experience and myself, and I shouldn't do that. And it's like you invest so much in these kids and what they do that it does take something out of you too, man. And it's a lot of time, a lot of emotions that are invested. And, you know, I've done it. I've been there. It's like I don't want to do that no more. Not to say that I won't ever coach, but at this point I would rather, you know, not coach and just sort of sit back and watch, you know, my friends' kids. And if they ask me a question, I give them answers on, you know, based upon my experience. You know, but as far as coaching, I've done it, and that's not something that, you know, at this point right today that I'm looking to do.
Wes and Hermitage. I'm definitely going
to
read this one.
I noticed this one. I was going to read this one. If you're talking to me,
go
this
ahead.
Is the one I was going to go with.
Go ahead.
Well, I this is an interesting one. Would Derek rather have four Super Bowl losses and known as a choker in big games, or work with Jared 5 days a week, 2 to 6?
Seriously? Seriously, you gonna make me answer that one?
Somebody said the complaining segment. Josh said the complaining segment is 2 to 6.
Man. As much as I like Jared, and listen, I've said this before, the kid does a fabulous job at what he do, and he studies and everything else. So, you know, take your hats off to Jared, even though some, you know, he may get on your nerves every now and then, people, or all the time. The kid does do his homework, and he puts a lot of hours in. So, but with that being said, I would rather have the four shots at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you're known as a choker
exactly.
in big games, you get to the Super Bowl four times.
Absolutely.
I always think the Bills, those Bills teams are underappreciated.
They are.
Because
they didn't
that's
win.
It's so hard to get there 4 years
exactly.
in
Exactly. Man.
So this is a good one, too. JC in Goodlettsville has prefaced. Anybody from the on-air personality on 102.5 that's a guy, because this is MMA that he's uh-huh. asking, even though I think Caroline and Michelle could whip our asses. So,
yeah.
you know, put them there. Who would be the easiest to take on in an MMA fight, and who would require you to pack a lunch?
Who would be the easiest to take
it's
on?
It's you versus whoever. The easiest one in like a UFC fight, or and then the one that would make
fights.
Make you really have to work for it.
Of everybody
yes.
all on air?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
See, I know they don't do, like, men versus women in UFC, and uh-huh. I understand why. Caroline, I think, would be a tough out.
Maybe for y'all. I don't know about
Does she
me.
Have a weekend job that
exactly,
we don't know
about? Absolutely. Does she have a weekend job that we don't
is
know
she going, Is like, she going
is
in
she
the octagon?
Mask marauder or something?
Yeah. It's like Spider-Man. She's got the mask. You don't know it's her?
Exactly.
I just got a text with my comment of Caroline and Michelle can whip uh-huh. our asses. Caroline says, that's true.
That's true. Oh, man. I don't know. It would – I don't know. It could be anybody. I think the toughest.
I think it's Robbie.
I think
toughest, Robbie would be the toughest.
I think the toughest for me probably would be the Willie or Rex.
Really?
Yeah,
Willie or Retro. Yeah.
Well, Willie is methodical.
Yeah, Willie and Willie he seems a little unorthodox.
Stealth.
Rex
Stealth.
Road.
He's
Rex
just
Road
like,
would cheat.
Yeah, Rex yeah. might.
Rex Road, yeah, Rex Road would get he would get dirty.
I think Rex Road would like throw some in you.
The easiest,
you know? Yeah, I gouge you without nobody looking. Yeah, I gouge.
I mean, the easiest, you're either gonna say me or Jared.
Yeah, pretty much so. So I had to go with the hardest. I think Willie would probably be the hardest because his tall stature, that he has this, it's like this, he's unorthodox. He's like fighting a left-handed boxer. It's like, you know.
It's like Rocky against Apollo.
Exactly.
That fight would start, and you would have never seen me jump as high because I'd be up on that cage running and climbing over. All right, let's squeeze in a couple phone calls real fast. Tony has one for D-Mace. Tony, welcome in.
Hello, guys. Earlier this week, y'all were talking about when College Game Day last came to Vanderbilt back in 2008. Derek, do you know what was once considered one of the best signs ever made for College Game Day when College Game Day came to Vanderbilt? Do you know what the sign read?
I do.
I don't. What was it? Something had to do with me and Coach Mason?
It said, "You're blocking my path to the library."
Yep. That was good.
Thank you, Tony.
That was the one I was hoping he was going to use.
Oh, my goodness. You're blocking the path to the library.
John has one for SD Mace. Go ahead, John.
Man, y'all are making me follow up. Tony, guys, good afternoon. Love the content. D Mace, I got a question for you. I've got two boys that we adopted. We've had them now. Now they're 9 and 10. And we wake up as parents at 2 and 3 in the morning and think about, are we doing this right? Mm-hmm. Can you give me some advice and get away from sports for just a second on how we would, as parents, bring in those young boys into young men? And I know you've got some experience there.
Oh, wow.
I appreciate it. Yep. Really, really trying hard to angle for some of those tickets, but okay. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
I've because my kids are older, my daughter's 23, my son's 20. It's been trial by error with our kids. There's a bunch of books out there, but every kid is different. Every parent is different. There's, you know, every situation is different. There's no book to tell you, you know, how to react when, you know, your daughter gets her heart broken. You know, whatever this and all of this stuff is going on. There's no book to tell you when you get a divorce and then your kid goes into high school and they're already dealing with that and they're dealing with the divorce. There's no book to tell you how to handle that. My advice would be this, and this is what my ex-wife Marcy and I did. First, we just loved on our kids. That's first and foremost. You love on them. You give them a space to be themselves. You give them a space to speak how they're feeling, but speak in a respectful manner to you, because what hurt kids the most is they don't feel they have a voice in the house.
Right.
When they come to you about things, it's always, as parents, sometimes we just wag our fingers like, no, you do it this way. This is the way it goes. And a lot of times, that's not what kids want to hear. You know, they want to be able to have a voice. Not to say that as parents, we're going to give in to what they say. Sometimes it's going to be, okay, you want to do this, or we're going through this. This is how we should handle it. But before we even get there, what do you think? How do you feel as kids? You know, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Do you think mom and dad are wrong in this situation? What are you feeling? But as long as they feel they have a space to say what's on their heart, but say it in a respectful manner, you just don't know how much that means to a kid, because all they want to do is be heard. So with you adopting, you know, two young boys, I believe that's what he said too.
Yep.
It's critical for you as a parent to allow them to have that space to tell you what's going on. Allow them to have that space to say, listen, mom, dad, I don't agree with you. But that doesn't mean mom, dad is going to change. It's just you're giving the kids a voice in the household. Again, kids, if you don't allow a kid to have a voice in the household respectfully, man, they're going to go out and they're going to ask other people outside the household. And then they're going to ask their peers who hadn't been through anything. You know, oh, what should I do here? Or then, no. They should feel comfortable with coming to you.
Yeah.
And you love on them as parents, and you listen to them. Listen, please, just listen to your kids. That's my advice for him, is just to continue to love, especially, you know, that he's adopted to these two young men, you really got to listen to him.
Yeah.
You know, so well, that would be my advice.
And that's fantastic advice. Look, I've been around you a while and watched your interaction with your kids and you know, how you post and everything online. I mean, you guys did a great job. So.
Nah, they get on my nerves. Okay? They get on my nerves. I want to hem Derek up every once in a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, I can say this, and I truly mean it. They are two wonderful kids.
They've
always been respectful. And that's just because, you know, 95% of it is their mom, and the other 5% is me. So, yeah. You know. But, yeah, that's my advice.
Great participation in Ask D-Mace. Coming up next, we'll get to Eddie George. And, by the way, Rick Sr., I act that way because I am.
That's all you're going to say.
Because that's what it is. I'll show you the text. Don't worry.
Okay.
That's what it is. Eddie George next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.